Well, good evening, Rays fans.
Buddy. Oh, okay. There you are, Craig. Go ahead.
Evening, Rays fans. Craig Moore here with you. Welcome to Race Chat Live. Our co-host, host extraordinaire, will be with us momentarily. He is caught in traffic, I think, on his way to the studio. Mike, why don't you go ahead and give us a list of the sponsors?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and...
Well, you have the two guests to talk about.
I know who I have, Mike. Give a list
okay.
of the sponsors for the show.
Oh, okay. Actually, I don't do this. It's usually CJ that does it. So.
All right, I-95 Sports. Want to thank I-95 Sports, the 110 Nag, Blog Talk Radio.
Mile High Radio also.
So I want to thank those sponsors. Coming up, we're supposed to have Chad Edwards coming up in a couple of minutes, and at the bottom of the hour. It's going to be Mike Bellinger. Both Chad and Mike have intertwined stories. And if Chad calls in, I'll ask him about that. If not, Mike will cover it in his interview. What a weekend it was at Chicagoland Speedway, Ray fans. Dale Jr. made his first appearance in the broadcast booth. And I would happen to say I listened to it. I was impressed, although they spent the last 7 months prepping him for this. The one word that came out of the whole race, was the last half a lap. Slide job! There is more memes going around. There's more memes going around Facebook about slide job. I just seen one that Chris posted a little while ago. I'll share it to the Race Chat Live page in just a little while. But all in all, it was a good race there at Chicagoland Speedway this weekend. We head for Daytona. And I'll tell you, I'm really expecting. Well, first, Mike, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If the roles were reversed, and it was Kyle Larson that ran into crybaby Kyle Busch and hit him like that on the last lap to bump and dump. There,
yep.
Do you think there would have been a handshake or fist bump in the garage afterwards?
Nope. No, sir. Why are you breaking up all of a sudden? Okay. Are you with it?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, you're breaking up for some reason. I don't know why. You were
I don't
in the
either.
Beginning. Okay.
If Kyle Larson dumped Kyle Busch like that,
no, I got that part. There wouldn't have been a handshake. No. There would have probably been fisticuffs. You're breaking up bad. I don't know what happened. In the beginning, you weren't, and now you are. So I don't know what you did that was different, if you did anything differently.
Now.
All right, talk now and see what happens.
All right. So, in the truck race, is not bad. Who won the next race? Was in there to go.
Okay, I got the truck series. Then you broke up again. But the truck winner was Brett Moffitt. The Xfinity winner, if I remember correctly, Who did win Xfinity? I'm trying to think here. Oh, Larson in the 42, in the orange 42. And then obviously Kyle Busch in the Cup. So those were the three winners. Here's, I believe, Chris is writing something. Hold on. Okay. All right. I got his message. He was writing me a message. Okay, go ahead, Craig. Craig, you want me? Okay, I can't hear him. Are you there, Craig?
Mike, can you hear me?
Okay, I hear you now. I don't know
what the problem was. But anyway, getting back to this, Mike Bellinger's calling in a couple of seconds.
Okay.
Let's talk about Chicagoland. Let's go back in gears. We're going to start this from
the
beginning.
Hold on, wait a minute. Mike is just in the studio now, but I have him on mute. You want me to put him in?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. There he is. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, good
okay.
evening, Mike. Welcome to the chat live. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys tonight?
You know what? We're good. Chris will be joining us in a couple of seconds. He's coming back from Mobile or something like that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in racing, what you're up to now, and things like that.
Well, I started going to the races as a young kid because my dad was a race car driver back in the day at Fonda Speedway, running the coupes and racing all over Malta, pretty much everywhere. And he introduced me to the likes of Dave Lape and Lou Lazzaro. He was good friends with them. And I just grew up with it. I loved it. And I told my dad someday I wanted to get in one, and my dad helped me make that dream come true.
Nice. Now, how long were you when you started racing?
I started in, 1994. I was about 20 years old.
A couple more years. Tell us, what division did you start in?
I started right out at Fonda Speedway in the Sportsman division.
All right. And that was in 94.
Yeah, I actually never forget that. It was kind of fun. I bought an old car, and it was a 1985 Tobias. I will never forget that. I didn't have a lot of money, and I just wanted to get my feet wet, so I bought an old car, and a guy that's been around racing for many years, Jerry Sampson, had a stock motor for sale for me out of a junk car, and I paid $50 for it. And I went to Fonda Speedway, and I thought I was real fast, but I wasn't.
Define not real fast, so tell us more about that.
What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Tell us more about you thought you were real fast, but you weren't. How did you find out that you weren't fast?
Well, I was on the track. I thought I was really going real fast, and I come in, and I get out, and I looked at the guys that were with me, and I said, boy, I was really flying there. And they go, yeah, you were fast, Mike. You only got passed by the leader about four times. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I didn't think I was going that slow. They go, I felt like I was going real fast. And we all laughed and joked about it, and
we had a great time until we went to load the car. First night ever loading the car. We had an old hauler that was bought from Niagara Mohawk. It had an old winch on it. The winch broke, and the front bumper ended up going through the back window of the trailer. It was quite the experience ever going there. And I said, holy mackerel, this is what racing's all about. And that's how we started. And here we are today.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You were baptized by fire, my friend.
Absolutely. But you know what? That a lot of ups and downs and travels throughout the years. I've met a lot of wonderful people throughout the years. Like I said, there's been ups, there's been downs, and now there's finally ups in my life again. And, you know, I was out of it for a little bit. I had a 5-year hiatus and had some drivers over the years because I physically couldn't do it. And but I made a commitment to climb back in this year because I had my dad loved racing so much, and I lost my father, and my father was a big part of my life as far as racing. And he told me, you know, he wanted me back behind the wheel of a car, so I did whatever I could to make sure that I made that happen this year.
So that's where your passion for the sport comes in. That's what keeps you doing it week after week after week.
It is because of my father. I'll be honest with you. That's something that I hang on to and I cherish now, because that's something that my dad and I did. Like I said, since I was a little tiny kid, going to the races and meeting all these guys and just being a fan and sitting in the stands. And then over years, my dad sponsored some drivers like Bobby Vetter, who became a good friend of mine now, a wonderful man. Him and his wife Linda and his son. They're just phenomenal people. And I just wanted to, it's hard to describe, but I just wanted to keep it my dad's memory alive, because it's something that he loved so much and was so passionate about. But it's not easy. I do have a 2-car team. I myself drive. I also have another driver who does really well for me, Tyler Ward, who lives out in Cortland. But we're unsponsored. So we try to do what we can and do the best we can. But as an unsponsored team, he's got me over 20 feature wins, 2015 Skyline Track Championship. And myself, I think I'm doing all right. I've had many top fives, top tens, finished top tens in points. In my first year here back in a car, right now we're setting fifth in points at my home track in Cortland at Skyline. We're about 22 points out of third. So we're doing all right. And then we gave it a shot over to Glenridge. They had the 50 lapper, real nice track. Now they're doing phenomenal things over there. Good competition, fast cars. It felt good to be back. The fans were wonderful. They welcomed me back. The drivers, it was unbelievable. And the promoters thanked me for coming. We were fast in the qualifier. We finished second to Dave Constantino, and we redrew third. And we thought we were going to have a good night, top three. But unfortunately, you know, racing's racing. We got spun. I think it was on lap three, and ended up with an eighth place finish. A little disappointing, but it felt good to be back there.
Well, that's awesome. I've not been to Skyline. I have been to Glenridge numerous times. Who was your racing hero growing up? You mentioned a few drivers, but who was that one driver that you remember seeing once the first time or the second time and said, hey, this makes me want to do this?
To be honest with you, I had two. My dad was was a big Dave Lape and Lou Lazzaro fan. My dad used to take me over to Louie's house all the time. And my dad always, you know, talked to Dave all the time. So them two were always my idols. And I loved watching them race. And I just always enjoyed the way they handled themselves on and off the track. Very, very professional. And, boy, they could wheel a car.
All right, now I'm going to ask you a question, and this is actually coming from Chris. He wants to know, Chris Creighton, wonderful host. Who is your favorite competitor and or rival on the track? And Tyler Ward does not count. He drives for you.
let's see. Throughout the years. Oh, boy. Well, back in the day, to be honest with you, just starting out, I was always watching Elton Palmer and Timmy Clemens always winning, and I was they were just unbelievable. And David Towns, they weren't really my rivals because they were just unbelievable, fascinating. I wasn't even in their league, so, and that's just being 100% honest with you. So more of I always wanted to beat them, but they're very good and very talented and, got good stuff. But rivals, it's really hard to say because I look at everybody on the track as equal. And I've always tried to race clean and try to do the best I can. But like I told you before, I don't have the backing. So I can't take some of the chances that some of the other guys can. We're not as fortunate to have some of the top-notch equipment, but we do what we can with what we have, and we try to put on the best show we can, and our goal is every week to go out, try to finish in the top 10, top 5, and load that car home in one piece every week.
All right. So, I know for a fact, because I know you, that you got an award last week from Skyline. Tell us about that award.
Yes, I did. Which is kind of funny because over the years I've changed a lot. I'll be the first to admit it. Years ago I was kind of a hothead and stuff like that. But as I got older now, I'm more cool and wanted to try to be a great good person and stuff. So I actually won the sportsmanship award. They said that I deserved it for everything that I tried to do. I try to help, and I might not have a lot. But I'm always willing to, if I got it in a trailer, I'm willing to help anybody. One of the top guys, happened to wreck and I was willing to help somebody out if I could with giving them a seat or something. That's just the way I've always tried to be.
How many victories do you have in your career?
I'm still waiting for that first feature win. I've got seconds, I've got thirds, a lot of top fives, but that feature win has always eluded me. I've come so close so many times to where I've been leading and with 3-4 to go, and something would happen or a caution would come out and the bigger guns would get me because I'm on older tires. But it's not always... I would love to get that win, to hold that checkered flag and do that. But it's not, to me, racing is, it's not always about that. It's about the people that go and spend their hard-earned money to come watch you and cheer you on, and seeing the little kids' faces anymore in the stands. To me, that's a win every week.
I like that. I like that. Now, you own a car as well. I mentioned that earlier.
Yep.
You own a car as well, and Tyler Ward drives that for you. Tell me how you came about to meet Tyler and have him drive for you, and then I'll ask you the second part of that.
I had a lot of things going on in my life for a while. I actually got a little sick, and some things were going on with me, and I was advised for a while that I had to climb out of a race car, and I didn't want to, but I had really no choice at the time. So I didn't want to get out of racing, but I still wanted to be a part of it. So I decided to help many people. I offered my car. Matter of fact, I put Tommy Vern had drove a couple races for me. Matt Guffrey had drove a few races for me. Danny Varon actually drove a race for me up at Glen Ridge. And your other guest who's coming on actually drove a race for me, Mr. Chad Edwards. great family, good people, and Chad actually did a hell of a job for me up there at the Ridge. But Chad had his own car, and you know, he had a good car, and he was trying to compete for points and stuff at Fonda. So then I actually had Timmy Dwyer ran for me for a while, Fonda, and we ran some dirt shows and stuff, but we just didn't have the mustard and the financial backing to really keep Timmy going. You know, Timmy was a talent. He was super Mr. Dirt, and he won Syracuse with Jody Gable. And you know, I just we stayed friends, but we parted ways because I just didn't have the pockets to really put him into a championship caliber car. So then I decided after getting out of it, I sold everything. We ended up we're out of it for about 4 years, and then I decided to buy a car. And I said to my buddy Steve Moynihan, who's my crew chief now, he says to me, he says, "Hey, why don't we take the car to the track?" I said, "Well, I'm not cleared to race yet." He goes, "So what? Let's go have fun." So we spent 20 minutes just tightening the bolts on the car, and we decided to go down to I-88 Speedway, and we finished seventh, our first night back in the car. And Tyler came up to me after the races, and we hit it off, became good friends, and so happened to be that his car owner was selling out, and he needed a ride. And here we are 5 years later, and we became a two-car team now.
All right, and Tyler, we've tried to reach out to Tyler for a few times for an interview, but he works for a cable company. He gets up at 3 in the morning, so he's never able to join us. What is one of your best memories ever at the racetrack? It doesn't necessarily have to be something you did. It could be that first win as a car owner. It could be anything. What is your first memory?
I would say my best memory at the track was out of all these years. There's actually two, to be honest with you. When I was in 1979, I was 6 years old. My mom and dad had taken me to the races. And as I told you before, Lou Lazzaro and Dave Lape were my idols. And Dave Lape, I had won a raffle to be able to hand the trophy out to the winner that night. And it just so happened that Dave Lape ended up winning. So here's the six-year-old kid that got to go out on Victory Lane and actually hold the trophy with Dave Lape. And to this day, I still have the picture and the clipping from that day at Fonda Speedway.
Amazing.
That was something so special to me. It was like, there's my hero, and I'm actually standing next to him, you know? It was unbelievable. And
that
then
was
my
probably
second,
taller than you.
Yes, it was. And you know, if you see the picture, you'll laugh a little bit. My dad had me in these little cowboy boots and stuff like that, and hair all over the place. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then my second best moment, I would have to say, was in 2015. We were so close as far as points in the championship. We had to finish in the top three to actually get the championship. And I'm standing in the pits up in the stands, and Tyler's running around, and he had the lead for a while, and the tires went away, and he slipped back to second, and we had to stay in the top three, and we still have four laps to go, and he got into a real heated battle between third and fourth. They were going three wide, and it was just, I'm on the edge of my seat, like, oh, my God, just hang on. We got this. And when he crossed the line in second and I knew in my head that we had won the championship, I just couldn't believe it. I was like in shock to be as an owner and know that we've put everything that we've could in this car to actually achieve a championship made me very proud. And I'm very proud of Tyler. He's done very well for me. He takes the car. He doesn't wreck it and smash everything up. He takes very good care of the car. And, so, yeah, that was my second best moment ever as far as racing.
Awesome. Now, you have got – I just want to throw this out there. You have something really big happening in 23 days. If you're not nervous, I'm trying to get you nervous.
I am very, very nervous. something I never thought was actually ever going to happen in my life. I've been with my girl for almost 20 years now, and I've always been. Everybody keeps saying, "Oh, when are you getting married?" And I always kept saying it wasn't going to happen. Well, on the 28th here of July, I am actually. On a Saturday, so I do have to miss racing. I'm getting married.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know that I will be there.
Absolutely. Very much appreciated. I'll tell you that much.
and Dana will be there. And but how is – I mean, I know that – I've known you for 25 years, and it's hard to imagine, but – when you were racing, when you and Tina first started racing, what was that like for her? Because you not only raced, but you owned a DJ business at the time. And so if you weren't racing, you were DJing. If you weren't doing either one of those, you were working. How did she adapt to that?
In the beginning, when we first got together, it was actually very, very difficult, to be honest with you. She moved here from Brooklyn, New York, and I had gotten out of a relationship with someone, and I was DJing pretty much full-time, doing construction, and we ended up dating, and when we met, I told her she wanted to know what I did, and I said, well, I'm a disc jockey, I said, I do construction, plus I race cars. And she goes, race cars? What do you mean? She goes, like they do on TV down the street, and like they do in Brooklyn. She says, they get on the streets and they drag race? I said, no. I said, we go around in circles on dirt and slide sideways. I said, and, there's usually 24 other guys doing the same thing. That was back then. Of course, now the sport's kind of not like it was, but she's like, well, I'll go. I'd like to go. And so I took her, and she went to my first race, and she wasn't too fond of it. She wasn't used to the dirt, and she was like a nervous wreck. And but now she's 20 years later, she actually she doesn't get to go much because she is in remission now. Thank God she was diagnosed with cancer, and she's in remission. But she doesn't get to go very much, but once in a while she does and supports me very much. And she loves the fact of knowing that I'm back in the car and we put a nice tribute on the front of the car in memory of my father. So she knows that every time I go out there that I'm riding with my dad. So it makes her feel real good, and she supports it very much.
Awesome. Now, I can attest to the very nervous because I've spent a lot of time with you guys over the last, I don't know, couple months. But what is one of the things for her, besides a track championship, that you would like to accomplish this year? Because I can tell if you were to win the track championship at Skyline that I think I would see her cry more than I'm going to see her cry on her wedding day.
I think so, too. And to be honest with you, I really want to park this thing in victory lane. Honestly, I'd love to park it in victory lane at Skyline. But to be honest with you, I'd rather do it here and get a win at Glenridge. Because there's some really good talent there, and they've done some great things with the track. They got good owners now, and to go there, if I could get a win there with the likes of Timmy Hartman and Dave Constantino, and you got Joe Orlando and Jimmy Antrone. I mean, you got some really good talent there that's got some really good cars, top-notch equipment. And if we could go there with what we have and actually pull out a victory in front of the fans that I do have here and the people that root for me, which I very, very much appreciate, because I'm not one of those big household names. I haven't won a million races, but I've always been dedicated to the sport and always gave 100%. So to park it at Glenridge with a victory, that would mean just the world to me right there.
All right. Now, you do have some people who are an integral part of your race team. You mentioned one of them earlier, Steve, who I've known probably as long as I've known you. But who else is an integral part to your team? Not just your car.
The people I'd really like to thank who made this all possible, of course, is my fiance Sheena, Christy, and my crew chief, Steve, and also a really close friend of mine. I could call him anytime, and he gives me advice, and he's been nothing but a true friend and just a great guy to me. And, you know, he helped make this possible for me, and without him being a friend and helping me, I wouldn't be even in the car this year. And that's Derek McGrew. Derek's helped me with what he could with tires and, you know, helped me remembering the setups and, you know, talking to me on the phone, telling me, encouraging me, saying, Mike, you got this, you can do this. And he's just been an awesome friend. Also, you, Craig, for More to Music, for coming aboard and having faith in me and, you know, putting your name and your business on my car to represent you. That makes me feel really good that you're entrusting me to go out there and represent you in a professional and manner way. And I'd also like to thank Mickey Luongo. He's the owner of Storm Bowling Equipment. Mickey not only helps us out with the car as much as he can, he also helps me in the wintertime with my bowling. He's a good sponsor for us, helps us out with some stuff, and we really appreciate that.
Somebody's got to help you with your bowling, for crying out loud.
Who else?
Yeah, that's my winter pass. And what's that?
Are you there?
Yeah, I can just barely hear you.
All right. Who else do you want to thank? I know a lady who I've known just as long, obviously, as I've known you. Her first name begins with a C. Her last name begins with a W. You affectionately call her Mama.
You're absolutely right. That's my mama, Charlotte. My mom has been my rock and been my best friend through everything. She's really supported me, especially with the loss of my father. I took that really, really, really hard. And she calls me and, hey, how'd you do tonight? I just want to make sure you're safe and go out there and do your thing. And just, she's the one now that instilled it into me that even if I don't win on the track, I'm still a winner in her eyes. And to me, that means more than taking that checkered flag as being a winner in her eyes and, you know, and doing what I can to make my dad proud of me. And that's all I want to do.
All right. Well, like I said, I have known you for a very, very long time. And you've always been a stand-up person. And besides your first win, obviously, as a driver, how many races are you guys running at Skyline this year? Like, how many total is on the schedule?
Off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure. I think there's like 20-something races.
Okay. I'm sorry. In effect, you've still got, you're what, halfway through the season up there at Skyline?
That is correct. Yes, we're halfway through the season right now.
right. So, I mean, you're sitting fifth in points. The car that you, the other car that you own, is sitting third in points. You and Tyler are coming down to the last lap. Who takes it?
Well, if he's ahead of me and I got a way to get by him, he's my teammate, but I still got to try to take the lead and go for the win. And we have a mutual respect for that. We both agree on that, that if we can take each other clean, we're going to do that. But one thing we'd never do is take each other out. We will not do that.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, Mike, anybody else that you want to thank? Go ahead. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes just to, if there's anybody that you forgot off the top of your head that you can remember or anything, I'm going to give you this time to,
There is, you know, there's people from my past, you know, I'll never forget, you know, the things we went through and all that. From Chad, you know, Edwards to Timmy Dwyer and to Matt Guffrey and to Tommy Vern and Bobby Vern and Danny Vern and, you know, to all them guys being a part of my life, you know, through the good, through the bad, and also Charlie Fox, you know, rest his soul. Charlie was my crew chief for quite a long time, and he was a great guy. And, you know, he ended up going and helping Chad and doing good things with Chad, and they won some races together. So he was a good man. And I'd also like to thank, you know, all the fans out there that after all these years that, you know, even though we haven't been a dominant team or I haven't won a million races, that have always stuck by my side. And to walk in, like I said last week, to Glenridge and have people say, welcome back, and it's great to see you, and we miss you. That was very touching last week, and it made me feel like I belong. And that was a big thing.
All right, and real quick, looking at my notes, as always, drivers are always looking for sponsors. So if there's somebody listening that would like to sponsor your race team, how do they get a hold of you, and how are they going to find you on social?
Well, we are actually in the process of making a racing page. I'm still kind of old school, so I'm getting help from someone that's helping me do a racing page. But I do have, right now I have Facebook. You can contact us on Facebook. You know, anything would be greatly appreciated. And, you know, we will do whatever it takes to make sure that we promote your business. And, you know, we do have a few tricks up our sleeve to help with some advertising. We have a good friend in California, Mr. Teddy G, who helps us a little bit too. I don't want to forget him. He's in the mix of doing a TV reality show, and so we can plug their business a little bit on the for that for advertising. And as some people don't know, if they don't know that throughout all these years that I got involved with professional wrestling, and I made a lot of friends throughout the wrestling business. Matter of fact, Craig, I think you got to meet a couple of them, like Mr. Buff Bagwell from WCW and the NWO. So I have a few connections there that we can help do anything and help promote somebody's business if they're willing to come aboard and give us an opportunity and help us get to the top and hopefully help take them to the top.
All right. Well, you can get a hold of Mike on Facebook. You'll find him at Mike Bellinger. It's either Mike or Michael. I can't remember which. I think it's Mike. If not, if you can't remember that, just send a message to the Race Chat Live page. We'll get you in touch with him. Mike, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you got to get up early, and you got to still put the finishing touches on to some wedding music for you and your daughter. And, again, want to thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, and we will talk to you real soon.
Well, I thank all you guys it's been an honor to actually be on the show. I really appreciate this. Means a lot to me, means a lot to the team, and we really do appreciate your time for taking a time out for us to actually be on the show. We do appreciate it. And best luck to all you guys, best wishes, and to all the other drivers out there. Continue doing what you do, and we'll see you soon at these local tracks.
All right, very good, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
All right, have a great night, guys. Thank you.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, race fans, that was Mike Bellinger. He drives a Sportsman Modified here in upstate New York. I want to thank him for joining us. You know what? I was just on the NASCAR page. In the Xfinity Series in 2019, Chris, I don't know if you're within earshot, but Toyota is debuting a new car for 2019. It is the Toyota Supra. So that means it'll be a year or two before it hits the cup level. But we talked about this a few weeks ago, that it's only a matter of time before Toyota gets a new vehicle. And I think it's going to be exciting. It looks like it's going to be nice and sleek, something to compete with the Camaros. And the Ford Mustangs. So, I don't know if Chris is in the studio yet or not. But, Chris?
I have a 601 number. Is that him?
That's probably him.
Okay, let me put him in.
Chris?
Hello.
Is that you?
Hey, Toyota Supra.
Yeah.
Toyota's coming to NASCAR in 2019, baby. They're bringing a Supra with them.
Is that even legal? I mean, we're talking about personal sedans, four-door cars that are supposed to be racing out on the racetrack. Now all of a sudden we're getting a Toyota Supra. I don't think it can be legal.
That's got to be legal or they wouldn't do it.
That thing sure looks sleek there, Craig Moore. I just don't know if it's going to pass tech line. I mean, it's just I see a lot of aero in it. And I know NASCAR does not like aero, or else we wouldn't have so much aero push. So I think it's a big deal. I think that the turn to the pony cars has now led Toyota to bring in something that they feel like can compete. Of course, Toyota is no slacker in competition. This could be a game changer based off the type of aero that this car could possibly have. It's going to be interesting to see how they fit that type of style car into the box frame of a pony car. So, Craig, I'm still a little worked up over it. I'm still a little confused. I don't want to be biased here, but I think Toyota's getting away with murder by being able to bring in the Supra.
Well, you know what? They've got to be able to compete with the Mustang and the
Camaro. They'll be able to compete.
Camaro.
This thing looks like it's supposed to be in the Trans Am series. I mean, I know that we probably haven't seen what the actual car will look like. But
no,
what they have posted on Facebook, that thing looks like it deserves to be at the Dragway or it deserves to be in the Trans Am series. It's a concept car, brother. I just don't know. Looks like Toyota now got their hands in NASCAR's pocketbooks, and they're going to be writing the script for about the next 20 years, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sleek, sleek car. Of course, they used the number 19 as a debut. Why they wouldn't use, 78 or something like that is beyond me, but...
I'm sure a lot of the technology, Craig Moore, is TRD, the main staple horse at TRD is Joe Gibbs Racing. It is kind of cool that they're kind of tying in Daniel Suarez with that number. Of course, 2019 also, Craig Moore, is the year that they're going to debut it. So that's
true.
Why the 19 is on the side of it. So
true.
I don't really fall into a conspiracy in that side. But the conspiracy, I guess, for the week would be, who's got Dale Jr.'s plate? Who's got Dale Jr.'s restrictor plate this weekend, Craig? I just don't know if NASCAR's ready to give it over to a Ford, so I would have to pick a Chevy. And I just wonder if they don't sneak that old restrictor plate, a special restrictor plate in there in Alex Bowman's car, since we're going to talk conspiracy. What do you think? Do you think Alex Bowman's going to have that special restrictor plate this weekend?
Fly job. Yeah.
Fly job. Fly job.
I don't know who's going to have it this week. It's going to be interesting. I said it's
you're breaking up.
Earlier, we kept getting dumped.
Yeah, Fords were dominating in practice. Unfortunately, Craig is breaking up right now. I don't know if he's breaking up with Dana or breaking up with us, but either way, he is breaking up terribly. So we'll get him back here in just a minute. Of course, we were talking about practice and this upcoming weekend's Daytona. NBC aired for the first time this year. Last week, the grand entrance of the Pope, I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the press box. And he seemed a little off through the whole night with the Chicagoland race. Of course, it was a great race. There at the end, his slide job, of course, has now already been mounted as the best thing that Darrell Waltrip never said. So you can forget boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys, now. It's going to be slide job, slide job. So I hope that you have plenty of earplugs, guys. I love Dale Jr., but he's going to have some help in that broadcasting booth.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because I was watching. All right, can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah, you're kind of fading there, but let's hope that you got your finger up near the antenna.
I was watching the broadcast. I think they need to put a restrictor plate on him.
Yeah.
At least on his vocal cords. If I had to grade him, I would give him an 85, maybe a B. I think that they getting ready. I think first show jitters got to him, as they do everybody. Because it's different when you're live.
Oh, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I have to give him an 8.5, which would be an 85.
Well, you know, he's coming back this week, Craig Moore, with a voice, and that's more than what Tony Romo was able to do after his first game call. Of course, he showed back up the next weekend for Sunday football, and all of a sudden you couldn't understand anything Tony Romo was saying because he was so hoarse. I did hear a little hoarseness from Dale Jr., and the broadcast earlier today, but he was able to not strain his voice as much. And like you said, he's got 21 weeks of this, man, 21 weeks to hold it together. He said that, quote, he is in for a hell of a ride. And I do believe that this is a different career path for Dale Jr. And it kind of, you know, his podcast after the race last week, Craig, it caught me by surprise. He said, you know, this is the first time since I've retired that I've been away from home. And the first time since my child was born that I've been away from home. And, man, when he said, I really miss my family, if there ain't a dad out there that don't know what the hell he's talking about, then you had no business ever being a dad. He was ready to get back home. So it's going to be interesting to see how he juggles. Obviously, with that amount of passion that he had that was out of his voice when he said he really missed home and all, I think that maybe that may be an injunction there. You know, he's going to be back on the road. He's going to be spending time away from the family. And so we'll see how long this lasts. I think that Dale will give himself enough room to try to be good at it. But I definitely don't see this as something Dale is going to be doing in 10 years, guys. I just feel like this is maybe a 2 or 3 year gig. And, you know, you can't turn down the best ratings promotional person in NASCAR in the last 20 years. So, I mean, you know, no doubt he having a place in the booth is good for the sport. Like I said, though, after a couple of years, though, we'll be ready to see if he's ready to become a full-time car owner or a broadcaster.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to play a huge part in it as she gets older. And he's not going to want to miss anything except for those really terrible Father's Day gifts that his wife got him. I don't know if you saw that, but that was horrid.
Well, let's make sure that we're not buying the wives toasters, vacuum cleaners, or gift cards for Mother's Day, and then we can work on the Father's Day ties because, you know, I'm a man that prefers socks and underwear. I like that. So, you know, a tie is a little bit too classy for me.
You have a sock fetish anyway.
Yeah, I have a sock fetish, so, you know, it's pretty easy to please Papa on special holidays, whether it be Father's Day or Christmas. Basically, I always have the same thing on my list, good underwear and socks.
All right, so let's talk about the finish of that race. I mean, that whole race was pretty good.
Try job!
But the end of it.
The end of it. Was that the end of you? Are you there? Okay, well, so what Craig was saying, as once again, he's fallen into, obviously.
Because the lap cars wouldn't get out of the way, or they weren't lap cars, but they were going to be. They were racing for position. You had people like Boyer. And I forget who the other one was, maybe Stenhouse. They were yelling to get out of the way. But why would people intentionally move over to go a lap down when they're racing for a position? Where we know every position now counts in the final stages.
Well, also, Craig, you know, the race isn't over till it's over. The lap cars were racing for position within themselves. And you're right, every point matters, man. In a 1 point per spot difference, that point can make or break that 16th spot. We've seen it already. We watched Carl Edwards lose a championship by 1 point. We know that this can happen. You cannot. It's called a courtesy flag, okay? And it's got yellow crossbars and a blue flag. Sometimes it may be a purplish. I don't know. I'm colorblind. So anyway, they drop that flag down. It's not anything more than a courtesy call, Craig Moore. There is nothing in the book that says that lap car has to move over. And what it did is it set up a great performance there at the end. My only thing was, if I was in the third or fourth place, I would be totally kicked off that I didn't try harder at the end on that last lap, because what happened between Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, you've seen it a lap before. My son said over under that they wreck at the the last lap, and I said, no, they're not going to wreck. That was three laps to go, okay? By the time the last lap come to be, I said, son, they're going to wreck, and I'm going to tell you why. Kyle Busch doesn't care who Kyle Larson is, and Kyle Larson doesn't care who Kyle Busch is. This is really great. And you know what? Those lap cars were there, Craig Moore, and guess what we had? We had a great finish. The fans sat in 110 degrees with a light breeze, and they got one hell of a show. And what's so interesting about it is just this week they released the earnings, and they said that all the tracks in the IMS there is down 10% in sales. When we have races like California, man, I mean like Chicagoland, Craig Moore, expect those ticket sales to start rising. We need more finishes like that. These guys didn't go bone racing each other. They raced each other competitively. And Larson, he did do a bad job. He knew that he was going to get up in Kyle Busch, but you're racing for the win. Kyle Busch had four wins at the time. Kyle Larson, zero. That's why you got the finish that you got, because Kyle Larson knows how important it is to finish in that first spot, so he's guaranteed a spot in the chase. He said it today in his interview, I've got to start racing for more stage points because there's already guys ahead of me in that area that have not won a race. So these guys are getting in queue. They are getting ready to win. Kyle Larson was going to race Kyle Busch. How he was going to race him, it was decided on the last lap, I will do whatever it takes to win this race. Now Busch got the last lap. He got in behind him, gave him a little pump in the, and you know, a little bump and run or a shove and run, whatever you want to call it. And what's amazing is Larson was able to still finish second. It reminded me of Daytona in 79. When the cars were wrecking down on the bottom and they were trying to find Richard Petty, I was trying to find Richard Petty. Who's going to win this race? Is it going to be Harvick? You know, is Harvick going to take the win? No, it was Kyle Busch, and then it was Larson, and then it was Harvick. So Once again, though, I want to reiterate, who is the fourth man right now between Clint Boyer and Kyle Larson? It's hard to call it, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I asked this earlier, and I asked at the staff, do you think that if the roles were reversed, and I already know the answer because I said it, if the roles were reversed and it was Larson that dumped, would Bush have went up and give him a fist bump, shook his hand, and said, great job?
Would it matter if he didn't? And I hate to ask a question with a question, but we all know the answer to that. And then the crybabies in NASCAR would come out and say, well, Kyle Busch didn't face his competitor. He went and cried in the holler. Or maybe Kyle Busch did face his competitor, and it wasn't very nice words to say. Or maybe Kyle Busch come up onto the end of the race press, the podium, and he let Larson have it. But you know what, guys? Didn't happen that way. And maybe with Larson showing the competitive spirit that he did to Kyle Busch, given the roles reversed, maybe Kyle Busch learned something from Kyle Larson. Of course, Busch had no problem looking in that camera, doing them crybaby eyes, bowing to the crowd. But I'll tell you something else. Busch heard those boos. And what made everybody cheer was when Larson walked up to him and gave him a thumbs up in the race car, and then walked up to him and gave him a handshake deal or whatever the heck it was. That's what makes fans scream hallelujah, because they want racing. They also want these guys to respect each other. I'm all for the drama, Craig Moore, but, you know, these guys have to respect each other as well.
I don't know who that is. I agree with you. I think it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're breaking up again, Craig. You there?
Hey, Chris. I know Craig's studio is in the kitchen. I think he's sitting in the oven tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, in the hot oven? Yeah, he's got to work on his cell phone service. I'd be calling my local cell phone carrier there. It's terrible, Craig. Unfortunately, he's not having very good cell services even. But we've been able to talk a little bit about racing, and so Craig, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, man. Probably best to go out there and sit on the porch.
There's a bad storm getting ready to roll.
Yeah, we've heard about your storms up that way, and of course, God bless all those that are in that line. Also, y'all had to deal with a little bit of southern heat up that way. Before we even get into the third segment of the night, and unfortunately, I missed the first segment. I had a great interview with Mike Bellinger, who told us about his 25-plus year career, and still looking for that win, but not deterred in any way, form, or fashion. He's looking to get that win soon. But now we got Craig Moore on. I'm back in the studio. We're talking a little bit about NASCAR, going into the third segment. But how about, I mean, put your ears to the phone. How about Joey Chestnut? Oh, my God, that guy's a beast. 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Well, let's just say that, I'm a little far ride for you. But, and 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That was just.
Daddy, it's rolling.
Okay. Yeah, this is a bad situation here when we have a co-host with a bad cell phone line, race fans. We're terribly sorry about the technical difficulties that have arose tonight on Race Chat Live. Fortunately enough, most of the time we can get through the episodes without too many technical problems. But one thing we can't foresee and change is weather in people's areas. So, Chad, are you there? I mean, Chad, Craig, are you there? Three more.
No, he dropped right now.
He dropped off the line. All right, well, we'll talk to you for a minute, Stats. Stats, what do you think about this weekend? Who's the game changer? Who's the one that needs this win the most, Stats?
I don't know that he needs the win, but I like Martin Truex this week.
Yeah, I think Eric Hemerola needs the win this week. I think that he has led some laps. He has put himself in position. Certain circumstances has kept him from it. I think in order to keep the momentum rolling for the 10 team, Eric Hemerola needs to find victory lane. Also, and I'll say this as well, two other drivers I can name off the top of my head that really need a win here, and that would be Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who wants to keep his confidence up that he's good at plate races, okay? This is very beneficial to Roush Racing to at least feel relevant at certain racetracks, and Daytona and Talladega is one of those racetracks where you definitely want to be relevant with that Ford horsepower. But we'll go over to the Chevrolet side as well, and Austin Dillon needs to capitalize. This is his second date at the racetrack this year at Daytona. He won the first one. I feel like in order to capitalize on a good season and put himself in a viable spot for the championship, which I'm not sure if he's got enough to hang in there to the last four, but in order to put him in a good seed, I think that a win here at Daytona is almost a must. But now also, you know, as we go through the list of names, hard to leave out Brad Keselowski. I picked him three or four times this year to win already, Stats. I scratch my head because he walks away with second and third place finishes. No first place finish yet this year. Keselowski, yep. Team Penske, they need a win now before they hit the panic button. Name me a couple more drivers there, Stats, that need a win to capitalize.
Bowman would be one.
Bowman, and let's why does Bowman right now need a win? I mean, he's on a contract year, right, Stats? So tell us about that. Tell us why it's important that the 88 gets in victory lane.
That, and also the fact that I don't know where he is in points, but if he's not at the tail end of like 16, he's got to be close to the cutoff line. I would think.
I do believe he is at the 16th spot there, Stats. So that'll kind of help you out. You think that in order to make the chase, this is his track to bring home a win. Is there anything else kind of hanging in the loom there for the 88 team and the reason why it would be so important to pick up the win at Daytona?
Well, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. always did well at Daytona. So if they set up the car the same way, or roughly the same way for Daytona and use their notes, maybe, you know, he can come out with a good finish anyway for points.
Right. Interesting that you said that, because it's definitely a lot of pressure stepping into a ride that has always been capable of winning a restrictor plate race. And so that pressure is beating in on Alex Bowman to perform at these types of tracks, knowing that his cars have been set up to win here at the plate tracks. So as you're scrolling through your mind there, Stat, give me another driver that it'd be very important to pick up a win here at Daytona. This is the wild card race, so anybody's got a chance. But give me somebody else real quick before we go to Craig and ask him the same question. What other driver do you think is a must capitalize situation to win at Daytona?
Well, everything I've read, and I agree with you with one pick, and that's Austin Dillon. They're saying that he needs a win and some points very badly.
So Austin Dillon. So you're leaving on the table Chase Elliott, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, Craig Moore. Are you back?
Yeah. I'm back. I'm back.
Stats says, you named some names there. Okay, Stats, I'm going to give you one more, and please explain.
No, but all of those that you just mentioned are already top, you know, as far as their records near or on at Daytona have been good. They're favored. Even Suarez was favored to have a nice finish, a good finish.
Okay. So Ryan Newman as well on that list, AJ Allmendinger, and maybe possibly a Kasey Kahne. So Craig Moore, what driver would capitalize the most off of winning this race at Daytona? What driver do you think needs this win more than anybody out of the drivers that we've left open?
Well, I think Johnson needs a win. He needs to lock himself in. He's 294 points out of first place. He's got to finish well. He's got to have a win. Chase Elliott is another one. I mean, he's every week. He's oh so close. But you know what? Oh so close isn't going to get him in the chase. Austin Dillon, if he wants to be taken serious, if he wants this Daytona win to mean anything more than it does, he's going to have to win another race, whether it be here or next week. He proved that he can win the Coke 600. He proved that he could win at Daytona, but he's not done anything since.
Yeah. Right. I think we all agree with Austin Dillon here. I think that Austin Dillon is a pivotal point. And he's ran well at the Daytona and Talladega tracks. I think he's got three consecutive top 10 finishes at Daytona in the last three races, including a win. So this would be the moment to really capitalize the situation at RCR. And you just don't want to leave out, you know, Ryan Newman as well, right?
Ryan Newman currently sitting 22nd in points. Pudgy Man needs a win.
Rocket Man needs to get back to form, exactly.
You know, he's gotta step up. The other one that concerns me is Bubba Wallace. He's sitting 24th in points. He's not anywhere near the cutoff line.
Right.
But if Bubba, Chase, Ryan, Stenhouse, Bowman win, that's going to juggle that line. That's going to move that line ever so further down. If somebody like a Busch like that, that's already won multiple races, here gets a win, it just eliminates people.
Yeah. I think what's so far interesting about all this that we've talked about, and it's really something that's careened in my head, as you said, Jimmy Johnson is 380 points back out of 62 points available in each race. That puts him almost six races off the pace from the number one spot. That means that six races of his has just been complete flops. And I don't know if that stat's ever been visible with Jimmy Johnson. That's how serious it is at the Hendrick camp. But I'm surprised, guys, that through all the Chase Elliott Aurora and through all the manic panic, that none of y'all are saying that it's important that Chase picks up the win here at Daytona. Are we forgetting that Bill was a mastermind at the plate tracks? Is our expectations already soured with Chase? Is that where we're at now, that we've just been blown out of proportion of who this driver is? And now the expectations are going to start drifting south because we're kind of not expecting him, and then we'll be surprised when he does win.
Well, I think, and I've said this for a long time, you and I have talked about this numerous times of day, that we as the media, we expected him to come in and be golden child. That's not the case. I don't know what the problem is on his Hendrick car, but that's not the case. So when he wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Like to Kyle Petty, 10 races in his career, then that's all he's going to be good for.
Wow. So we went from comparing Chase Elliott to Dale Jr.'s early career. Now we're comparing him to Kyle Petty, and we both know that apple fell pretty far from the tree, because Kyle Petty didn't have anywhere near the stout career that his father had or his grandfather, Lee Petty. That's interesting. Absolutely. That we're there. I think that we are the only radio show on the map right now that's willing to say that on the air. And you know how I know we don't have anybody listening? Because we don't have hate mail flowing in right now.
I don't know. I'm waiting. Mike Bellinger's still listening, so I'm waiting to see if he chimes into the messenger.
There are people listening. I know there's people listening. I just always like to make a joke like that. So. But we are still waiting on the hate mail. Please send us some hate mail.
Yeah, would you please?
We'll read it on air.
Your first six people in the chase currently: Kyle Busch, 5 wins. Kevin Harvick, 5 wins. Kyle Busch, if the playoffs started this weekend at Daytona, would be your top seed because he has more playoff points. Then you have Martin Truex Jr. with 3 wins. Clint Bowyer with 2, although I don't really consider the last one a win. It was a rain.
It's a win. It's a win. A win is a win. And 10 years from now, you won't count that win as a rain win. So I'm not going to stand for that. A win is a win.
I just had to get you going.
Yeah.
Austin Dillon has 1. Joey Logano has 1. Sitting in 7th place is Brad Keselowski. All these guys still need the win. Keselowski, Busch, Hamlin, Larson, Blaney, Almirola, which I'm a little shocked that he ran so good this past weekend. He led, I believe it was 78 laps at Chicagoland, and he won a stage. So they may be coming into their own, and I'm glad to see that 10 team has gelled with Eric Almirola this year, as well as the rest of Stuart Haas. They're no longer the orphan child that they were for years under good old DP there. Jimmy Johnson, as I said, he needs to catch a win. Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, and Bowman. But that's your top 16. 17 through 20 is Stenhouse Jr., Menard, Suarez, and McMurray.
And Menard are two dark horses that don't need to be forgotten about. And you have to put McMurray in the conversation, Craig Moore, because you see the performance from Kyle Larson. You know that there's got to be some similarity in notes and the way the car's set up. Jamie McMurray's a proven winner in the past. Those two drivers, they kind of stick out to mind right there, you know, and especially McMurray, because McMurray, like I said, his teammates showing that there is speed in those cars. So, you know, McMurray's definitely one to watch.
McMurray will be.
Uh-oh. You there?
Craig went back in the oven again.
Yeah. We got to get that worked out. Good show here tonight, though, race fans. Glad y'all are listening in. Of course, it's Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. We're having a little technical difficulties. Unfortunately, I was late for the show. Didn't get to interview our first interview, which was Mike Bellinger from the upstate New York area. I got to listen to him talk about his 25-year career. Now we're talking a little bit about NASCAR and the upcoming race this weekend at Daytona. We've also talked a little bit about last week's race, Dale Jr.'s job in the box, and now we're kind of just trying to catch up on what team is it most important to win now. And I think that in the stretch with Daytona, and then we've got Watkins Glen, we're going to see some new names pop off the wins, and it will be interesting to see out of this list of 16 to 20 guys that haven't yet capitalized. We're not talking about the 4 to 5 that have. We're talking about the other 18 guys that haven't picked up a win yet, and the probability of them seeing victory lane before the chase starts. Of course, we have had a schedule change this year. Chicagoland was run early. We're going to end the chase. We're going to begin the chase at the end of the Indianapolis race. Richmond will no longer be the first race of the last race of the chase. They're actually in the chase now. So we're really looking forward. Of course, Darlington's coming up. Everybody loves Darlington. Looking forward to seeing what the throwbacks are for the Labor Day weekend. And Bristol's coming up in August. That's another track that we'll be traveling to for the second time. And it's always a great night race. you know, the season is just now kind of getting to that halfway point. We're getting a view of who's what kind of years these guys are going to have, what kind of season they're going to be able to put together. I still believe that there's a dark horse. There's somebody that's going to add their name. They're definitely going to be that fourth seed. We haven't quite seen it yet, and if you want to base it off of wins, then you got to give it to Cliff Boyer. If you base it off of performance, then there's still a handful of guys that could fit that category right there for the fourth seed. But, you know, we still have a chase to go through, and it's going to be three rounds. So, you know, who knows who will make it to the end and to the final round there at Homestead for the final four. But really, you know, this is that time of year where it's time to get excited. I'm surprised that we haven't had very much silly season news. Of course, this has all changed in the last couple of years. Dale Jr. had made his announcement at the All-Star race of 2007, I believe it was, that, you know, he was leaving a DEI. Now, we're already in July. We don't have really any information on major drivers that could possibly be up out of their rides at the end of the year. I have heard through a source that SHR is pursuing all four drivers that they've had this year. I don't know how many are up for contract. I do know Kurt Busch is one of those drivers that's up for a contract renewal. So it looks like Stuart Haas Racing is going to try to tie down Kurt Busch to a long-term contract. We got a train coming through. Craig, are you back on? All right, no Craig Moore. So we've got Xfinity Racing this weekend at Daytona. The trucks are off. Stats, who do you got to win the Xfinity race?
Well, I was a week too early. I thought Ryan was going to race after Langley. It wasn't after Langley. It was 2 weeks from Langley. So he is down as we speak. He is in Daytona now preparing for the Xfinity race. So I got to pick one. And then Saturday he comes back up the Riverhead to race the Modified. So he's got a chance to have two wins this weekend.
Yeah, Ryan Preece stepping back into the behind the wheel this weekend in the Xfinity car. Now, I do have some updated material on Spencer Gallagher. Spencer Gallagher has been reinstated by NASCAR in the Road to Recovery. So it's great to know that Spencer was able to put in his past whatever it was that that caused the failed drug test. And we're looking forward to having him back in his race car in Kentucky. I think that the driver was already set for this weekend, so we won't see him at another restrictor plate race until next year. So Spencer Gallagher will be reinstated back to the GMS team here at the end of the week and be in the car, I believe, at Kentucky next week. So you've got Ryan Preece for the Xfinity. Of course, I've been on the Cole Custer bandwagon, but this week I've got to change it, guys. I love the way Ron Reed races restrictor plate. He's in a Roush Fenway Racing Ford, the number 16. Lily Diabetes is on his uniform. So I'm going to go for Ron Reed this weekend in the Xfinity Series. And for the Cup Series stats, who do you have?
I like Martin this week. I think
Martin Bobble and Montoya?
No, Martin Truex.
Oh, Martin Truex Jr. in the 78. Wow. So you didn't really go out there on the limb for that one. I can see where Truex could be fast this weekend. I'm going to step out on the rim, and I'm going to say, I don't know why, I've said his name three times in the show already, Ryan Newman. I don't know why, y'all, but I'm going, and that was not my pick at the beginning of the show. I was not going to pick Ryan Newman. I'll tell y'all later on who I was going to pick, but I just had something come over me. I think it's going to be Ryan Newman this weekend. I think that the Rocket Man is going to get it figured out. He's going to go to his first restrictor plate win since, what, 2011, when he won the Daytona 500?
I think the reason you picked him is I think back, Chris. I think his best finish was a second in Daytona. Was it last year, the first Daytona race? I think. I think it was week one last year that he finished second.
Wow. You know, I normally am pretty locked down in who I pick for my picks, guys. I'm just, you know, I have intuition, a moment of psychic ability, maybe. Ryan Newman, I'm telling you, I feel like it's Rocket Man's time to rise back up. And these cars, anybody's competitive at Daytona. It's all about staying clean. Experience is something that Newman has a lot of. I think that attitude has been a major issue in Newman's finishes. If you think that you're going to go to Daytona, Talladega, and wreck, you more than likely are going to wind up in the wreck. I think as Newman has gotten older, he knows that these are the races where he can win, and this is where he's going to have to put forth that effort. And his experience could pay off this weekend. And I'd love to see that Caterpillar in victory lane. It's Craig Moore, you back?
I'm back. All right, here's my pick for Xfinity. Hemric.
Wow. Kannapolis, North Carolina's own Daniel Hemric, the neighbor to Dale Earnhardt Jr. He is driving for Richard Childress Racing from the same hometown, neighbors to Dale Jr. Daniel Hemric busting out this weekend, going to pick up that win at Daytona. Craig, I like your pick.
And here's my next pick for the Cup. Brad Keselowski, Mr. Burger King himself.
See, you just took my pick that I was going with Brad K, and I think most of you knew that. I think most of you knew that. I'm really thinking that, you know, this is Brad K's opportunity, and he's really good at restrictor plates. Why I changed my pick, I'll still to this day have no idea. I just have a hint that Newman is going to pull it off. Brad Keselowski would have been my second pick, so it's good to know that my brother over here, Mr. Craig Moore, he was thinking the same thought line that I had. Hey, at least we picked different drivers this week.
Well, yeah, and I picked the winner.
Okay. All right. So dumping stats. We've had enough of this. I mean, come on. I mean, are you trying to get me to melt down? Is that what it is? I'm sitting back here looking at Danica Patrick pictures, okay? Does that make you mad?
Listen, if that's what works for you.
Hey, speaking of Danica Patrick news, Aaron Rodgers broke up with Danica Patrick.
Oh, Mike, you got a chance now.
Sit down, Stats. Don't even stand up for that one. So you're saying there's a chance.
No,
actually, I was going to say, Craig said that Mike Bellinger is a stand-up guy. I was going to tell him I was a sit-down guy. So, you know.
Oh, Stats. There's a lot of people listening in that won't understand that, and we'll just keep it at that. But, Stats, we love you, man, even if you are in that chair, man. We love you, man, and hell of a way to make light of the situation there, because we would never make fun of the situation. But having you on, Stats, and your kind of attitude, man, it's heartwarming, man. We love you, man.
That's what's called an inside joke, but most of my listeners on Friday night know about it already.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, listen, I want to give a huge shout-out. It's 9:26, and real quick, during the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest yesterday, my lovely fiance, Miss Dana, was on television. Well, the side of her was. They got a picture of her video as they were sweeping through. I think they decided not to use mine because I was promoting the More 2 music. So I think they decided to opt out of that one. But real quick, man, it's been a heck of a week. And we're busy this weekend. But up here in my neck of the woods, of course, we got Skyline running Saturday. Friday night is Albany, Saratoga. Saturday night is Skyline and Fonda, and then Sunday is Glen Ridge, Utica, Rome. So get out and support your local tracks.
yes, it's going to be a little cooler here this weekend. It's only going to be about 85. It's not going to be 95.
Sounds great. And, of course, we got the USCS Sprint Cars coming to town here at Why Not Motorsports Park. A lot of racing in the South this weekend. Tomorrow night, they'll be racing two different tracks, Jackson Motor Speedway with the Comp Cams. They're racing Comp Cams tonight at Magnolia Motor Speedway. They'll go to Jackson tomorrow night, but also Hattiesburg Speedway is running tomorrow night. Saturday night is the USCS Sprint Cars there at Why Not Motorsports Park. You'll see lap times in the 11.8, 11.6, and 11.5 mark. That is hook and tail on a 3/8 mile track. You come down and enjoy a night of dirt track racing at Why Not Motorsports Park, the action track of the South, Rodney's House of Hook, whatever you want to call it. Make sure that you're there and filling those stands up cheering for your driver. Of course, next weekend we'll have the Mid-South Big Ten guys on again. We have up in store Trevor Woodard and Dylan Scott. Both of them are drivers, street start drivers for the Mid-South Big Ten Series. We'll get more information on them throughout the week. And stats, so what you got coming up tomorrow night?
Okay, we got a rebroadcast tomorrow night because both of my guests couldn't make it. Well, one of them couldn't, so we just put a rebroadcast in, and we will we're going to have a rebroadcast from August of 2016. Teresa Dennehy, the concessionaire, one of them at Riverhead Raceway, and Kenny Hyde Jr., and also the third guest in that week was Jimmy Blewett. So we'll have all three of those tomorrow night in a rebroadcast that was first aired on 8/12/16. So that was August 12th of 2016 was the air date.
Just showed you how many podcasts we do. We got 18 more scheduled podcasts just for Race Chat Live. We've done over 1,000 podcasts with the 110 Nation sports blog. It's absolutely amazing. If you want to be part of the team, you want to help fund the team, or you want to be just a full-time listener, guys, there's always a program on, always something to go back and listen to. Great material here at the 110 Nation. Of course, the Race Chat Live is powered by the 110 Nation, and we give all the credit to Mr. CJ Sports, who is unfortunately not here tonight. Looking forward to getting him back around on a full-time basis as well, but work comes first and then play. So I want to thank you guys for being on. I want to thank our guests earlier tonight, Mike Bellinger, for an awesome interview that Craig Moore handled and did an outstanding job with. Of course, support your local tracks this weekend, guys and girls. Go out and buy a cheeseburger. Get you a grandstand ticket and cheer for the hometown crowd with the hometown team. And guys, make sure that you listen to Ann again next week for another episode of Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. Thank y'all for listening. Anything else there, guys? Anything y'all want to put in real quick?
No, real quick. I don't know if anybody heard me earlier. I'm not sure. But Albany Saratoga Friday night, Saturday night Skyline Fonda, Sunday is Glen Ridge Utica Rome. Like you said, get out and support your local tracks. Hope everybody had a safe 4th of July. I know that I woke up with 10 fingers this morning, so I was okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I've got my 10 fingers and 10 toes as well. I didn't shoot any fireworks yesterday. I just sat around and enjoyed my family time. And, of course, got to see the display of fireworks here where we live. Our neighbors took care of that. So, of course, we've got a couple of cats missing now. Unfortunately, fireworks do scare off the animals. So hopefully we'll find those cats and be back here again next weekend. So, like I said, guys, go out. If you're not supporting a track this weekend, watch NASCAR and try not to bash the sport. Enjoy the race. This is always a spectacle when they're at the restrictor plate race. A lot of different racing here than what you see at your typical mile and a half track. So go out and support it. Be a part of it any way that you can. And remember, it's always best to leave to talk about racing on the good side and not so much the bad side. If you got something bad to say about the sport, just don't watch it. There's plenty of room for you to be a hockey fan, a soccer fan, a football fan, a basketball fan. If you don't really like the sport, don't follow it. That's all I can ask you guys. But if you love it like we do, then stick with us, and we'll keep you completely informed and let you know I've started sounding like Craig, drawing out the clothes over and over and over again, but not seriously. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see y'all next week. Thank y'all.
Good night.
Good night.